wow.
Hey, yeah. Sarah.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hi, Sue.
Hello, episode 460. Ooh. I was listening to Howard Stern last week. It was really fun. That Hey Now reminded me of him, of course. It was an interview with Chris Rock, and he was saying that he hasn't had sugar in a year or masturbated in a year.
Chris Rock or?
Yeah. Chris Rock. Yeah.
Huh.
And doesn't watch porn anymore.
Well, those are all good things. All addictions.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was saying like the dopamine thing was like putting him in some sort of fog and he wanted to have a clear head. So that's his technique.
Oh, abstain.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just for temporary. I don't know. But for now, that's working for him. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I saw a really interesting interview he did where he was talking about having a processing disorder.
Yes.
And that was fascinating. And I loved him talking really openly and honestly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so great for people to hear and for him to be able to be open like that so it can like normalize things like that.
I was telling my friends that I feel like a lot of the big comedic names may share that same
For sure.
Situation because they have a lot of the same traits and a lot of the same talents and sort of social behaviors.
Yes.
I'm like, maybe this is more widespread than just Chris Rock in the comedic world.
I would absolutely believe that.
Yeah, right?
For sure. Nanette, sure, like, what's her name?
Yes, Hannah Gatsby.
Hannah Gatsby.
Yeah.
If you could name, like, off the top of your head enough people who, like, identify with some sort of, like, learning disorder or processing disorder or are on the spectrum in some way, that's a highly, like, representative, you know.
And it makes sense because they have this special gift of understanding human behavior and the way the world works, and it manifests in a different way than like your average bear.
Or how about having to analyze it in the first place?
Good point. Even
they
being aware of
have to focus on that and be aware of that because that like more than normal.
Yeah, they had to work around, right?
For sure.
So there you go. That's what happens when you say, hey now. Then I just launch into
it. I love it. Yes. You know, and that, like, and I'll just add this little thing, that just, I love, like, the concept of, like, yin and yang, and that there's a flip side to every coin, and that the things that are our best traits can also be some of the things that are our, you know, I always say the same thing that makes me hilarious, makes me, like, really can make me, I've been very good at learning how to control it, but nasty in a fight.
I read because, this, you know, article years ago about how Brad Pitt once told, I don't know, some journalist that he had bought some famous toilet, like a historically important toilet. I forget the details, but the person writing the article was saying, like, if you were interested in dating Brad Pitt, that would be like so adorable and quirky and would make you love him more, but like if you were married to Brad Pitt, you'd be like, what is this fucking toilet? You know, and it's often the same things that draw you to a person that you are repelled by eventually later.
100%. Absolutely right. Yeah. So that is you can't.
It's true for everybody.
Yeah. You can't well you love him and you hate him for the same, like it totally is. I'm trying to think of something that would be like my
Well, we just talked about it before we started recording. I was saying how you're so expressive.
Oh,
and that's what makes you so funny to me.
Yep.
But it can also seem, I don't know, dramatic or whatever to other people.
Like, and way over the top. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I make everything. I can't even help it. Like, my reaction is going to be a big sigh.
Over the top.
I really should work on that.
No, you shouldn't.
It's like too hard. It's like you can't.
It's just about being aware of it within situations, I think.
Mm-hmm.
you know, do it more for me and maybe less. Oh, I always do. Like,
I can't. Yeah, of course. I mean, you spend like freaking 10 years on reality television where they're literally paying you your job. You're invited back the better you are at doing that. And then it's like a skill when you get home. They're like, don't do that. Definitely don't do that. Because that's not, well, I
that's
guess it's all of reality
glad
TV.
We do this show because we're still being rewarded for our strange personalities.
Oh, that Brad Pitt thing is so funny, though.
I'm going to find that article. That was a hoot.
It's so true.
Imagine like being the journalist and pitching the article. Like, I want to write a story about Brad Pitt's toilet and how it relates to his dating life.
I love that meme that floats around every now and then that says how, like, Brad Pitt becomes whatever woman he's dating.
It's true. I love
it's
that about him.
It's so funny. That is so accurate. Empathy. And he really does look exactly like every woman he dates. That is so funny.
Yeah, we should see what he looks like now and then see who matches it. And we could probably predict who he's dating. Okay. First, I need to talk about my joy about the fact that British Baking Show is back on Netflix.
Susie, I watched it for the first time. This is everything. This is everything that television, reality TV should be.
Yes.
My heart. This is this.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I know Chris Rock has given up sugar.
Right.
But I hope he hasn't given up watching people cook it, because that is the cure for everything. And it is so adorable. What's your favorite part?
So, I mean, I'm a big fan of the show. And so I was excited to watch it. And we sort of made a big thing about it, because you got to make a big thing about stuff like that these days.
Yes.
And we turn it on. And I kid you not, within 1 minute of that fucking first note of the theme song, I was crying my eyes out.
Yes. Oh, Susie, I love you.
Because it, to me, represents the best of us. And it also really hit home what a deficit we have been in this year of joy and hope and love and kindness and civility. And that was when it hit me, like, we are all having collective trauma, and things like this show shouldn't make us this happy, but they must, because it's all we have.
Oh my gosh. I
what
get
do you
it.
Think?
I agree. I cried when I received the Tiny Chef plush doll in the mail.
No.
Yes, I did, Suze.
See,
and then I tried
the
to cover
thing.
It up. Like, I tried to, like, hide that I was crying, and, like, I, like, got up and, like, went to the bathroom, like, blew my nose and was like, allergy, like, you know, one of those. And, like, this is me who, like, does not embarrassingly cry, but I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to explain away, like, crying over receiving a Tiny Chef plush doll.
But
like, he
it.
Says 25 different phrases.
I get it, because
I get it.
That is something that brings you comfort and joy.
Yes.
And receiving that, it just all comes at once. And I know a lot of people who haven't watched The Baking Show yet who would be like, what is the big deal about the show? Everyone makes such a big fuss about it.
That was me 2 weeks, 1 week ago.
Okay. Now you feel the same?
I'm fully converted. I am mad that it's like finding the... I don't know. What is it? Finding like that the best restaurant in your neighborhood that was always there that you didn't even know. And you're like, God damn it. I could have been having this delicious food and I ate that crappy food at that other restaurant, you know, and you can't be too bummed about what you didn't know.
It is like that. Please watch it, everyone.
It's so wonderful and charming.
And it's not.
I feel like the girl from season 7 got robbed.
Which one?
Spoiler alert. Is her name Susie? No. It wasn't Susie. It was...
Kim Joy?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. That's season 6.
Oh,
the season after that.
You know them all?
Well, only because I watched the one season and I was like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I've just barely started season 6. I've only been one season in.
Well, and I don't want to give the impression that it's sort of like overly sweet or saccharine, because it isn't.
It's
like the
not.
Hosts are very funny. There's a lot of wit and, you know, like euphemisms and just, it's not silliness. Reverent. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people think when we say it's nice and people are kind to each other on the show that they think, oh, it's going to be like Sunday school or something, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's just, I was totally going through all of these different thoughts. It's so funny that we end up like watching these things and like having these conversations about it. Because as I'm watching this, I'm thinking like, what's different about this reality show? What is it that I love? Is it the guest? Is it the format? And it feels like everybody, there's never a low blow.
No.
There's always support. And then I was wondering, is it that bakers, the people who bake, just are nice people?
I would say maybe, but also casting, of course, has everything to do with it and the intention of the show. Their intention isn't really to make people fight. Their intention is, yes, to have good storytelling and drama, but that can come just from baking a pie. Anybody that bakes a pie knows how tense that can be.
Oh, my gosh. It really is tense. And, like, anything can go wrong. Oh, my gosh. And some of the technical challenges they give them. And I'm learning so much.
Like, they don't rely on pitting the contestants against each other as a sort of cheap way to get drama. Right.
Really, the contestants are up against the pastries
themselves
and the desserts and themselves.
Right, the ingredients. Yes,
the ingredients.
And they're all cheering each other on and they want each other to do well.
That is the, and it's genuine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, these are the sweetest people. Her name's Steph. Do you remember that season?
Yes, she's so great.
She's the greatest in the world. And I never wanted a single.
Instagram, and I'm like, you're wonderful. I just wanted you to know. And she just said thanks. And I was like, she deserves to be celebrated. She's so kind.
She's like a gem of a person. And when her mom was like, that's the season I watched. Oh my God, I'm going to tear up thinking about her. And when her mom was like, she's had a really rough past year. And I could just imagine the kind of place that she was in. And she looks like when she got so down on herself, she looks like the kind of person or seems like the kind of person who would be like, self-defeating or thinking like, and then she just, and then when what's his name, Noel, came over and be like, just keep going, you're okay, and then everybody was supportive and it was like, oh, my heart, I can't take it, and they all just cared. It's the
I
best.
Know it's the best, and it's the, she's the opposite of who would normally be cast because she's not grandiose or
so humble.
She's just fun and sweet and a good baker, and it made great television. You can do it, casting people.
That's the best.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite clear aligners are doctor directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So anyway, Bake Off, you need to watch it.
It's so
good.
It's
amazing. Also, on a totally different tone, did you watch American Murderer documentary on Netflix?
Ooh, I was just about to start it last night, but I was like, you need something happier tonight, not
murder.
Yeah, it's
dark. That's for sure.
It seemed like it would get dark fast, but I want to hear. And let me tell you, I'm still going to watch it, so tell me everything.
Well, as you guys know, I write to a lot of criminals, and I try to... For me, it's about figuring out what went wrong, you know, why someone would choose to murder someone. But especially in this case, this is a story of the guy that killed his wife and daughters. And they were sort of that idyllic, you know, suburban family, which is what always gets the headlines. Mm-hmm. But it does baffle you because you think they had such a beautiful family and they had jobs and they could live their life peacefully. And then something just... went wrong. And so it's this question of what the heck went wrong. I mean, he was having an affair and presumably he just wanted to start over. But like, why wouldn't you just get a divorce?
There's got to be a feeling of being trapped. You know, I would imagine there's a specific like diagram. It's like a square for, I feel like trigger warning, but like suicidal ideation and people who like get to this point of hopelessness and pain and emotional pain and like no way out. And so I wonder if it's a similar thing where it's like lack of options. Like, I just feel like you'd have to be backed into how could somebody go to that place? And you'd have to be in such a, I can only imagine, unless it's he's like a sociopath or something. But if it's like a regular, he seems so regular, then he had to have, it felt like he had gone to a really, really dark place. And I'm not in any way saying those two things are the same, by the way. I'm just like applying the same kind of like the tool that they use to measure it, I feel like.
Yeah, similar. He must be a sociopath, but it's strange when someone hasn't, at least from what I've seen in the film, he hadn't demonstrated violence or that type of personality. At least violently. And so it's like, what the heck? All of a sudden you're capable of killing those two little babies and
I can't, but I say the same thing about the moms. I couldn't imagine.
Oh, right. But don't you think that when the moms do it, it tends to be like postpartum.
Oh yeah. Well,
so there's more of an explanation of like how that could have happened. This is just bizarre. But I did enjoy, because most of the footage was from like videos that the wife had put on Facebook of her and her family over the years. And I always find that interesting to see what people present versus what is the truth.
Ooh, how was it different?
Well, she was really obsessed with getting pictures, getting video, and being very candid online about herself and her family. Mm-hmm. And it almost... You know, it does feel like it was a little over the top, but that is beside the point. I mean, that has nothing to do with what ended up happening, but it does seem like, why were you so interested in presenting something that is so far from what was really going on? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was weird watching the confession. First of all, he took a polygraph.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that one. Well, just like in the preview. God. What, did he get it right or wrong?
He failed, and the lady giving the polygraph, she was like, yeah, no, you are being deceptive, and like we are done having this conversation. Like, because she said to him beforehand, she goes, the cool thing about the polygraph is like right now only one of us knows the truth, but in 5 minutes, both of us will. And she was like being all perky and stuff.
I saw that clip. That's the clip I saw. And I was like, damn, that's a good line.
It is, because if he's innocent, he would be delighted to hear that. But if he does know something, then he should be shitting his pants. Yes. And she kept saying to him, like, if you had anything to do with this, you'd be really stupid to sit here with me. And then he did it anyway and took the polygraph, of course, failed.
Ooh, I can't wait to see that.
She said... Did your wife do something to the girls, and then you had to do something to your wife? And you could almost see his wheels turn and be like, yeah, that's
it. Is that an option? Yeah.
That's the ticket. And then that's what he claimed eventually.
Was that
she killed the kids and I had to kill her as a result.
Oh my God. I don't believe that.
No. And the investigator was like, are you comfortable without us putting that in the public that she killed the girls? You're fine with that? And he's like, yep, go ahead.
Oh.
Right?
No. No, no. What a fucking liar.
And like, he's handsome and stuff, and so I'm sure he gets tons of mail from those jailhouse ladies that try to, you know, seduce prisoners.
Yeah.
And he's thinking like he's going to get out on good behavior someday. He really does.
Oh my God. So he's just delusional. He's a narcissist or what?
He must be.
He must be, because that's it.
He had just lost like 60 pounds or something and became obsessed with working out.
Oh my God.
And the investigator was like, usually when people do that, it's because they have somebody that they're working out for. Like, No.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's low hanging fruit, this type of film for sure. But I always find it interesting trying to figure out what went wrong.
It's like Dateline.
Yeah. Human behavior is fascinating. It just is.
Yeah. Oh, so. And that cube was called the Schneidman's cube, and it's stress, pain, and agitation. And it's like those across like different axes, but like they're three instead of like, I don't know, X and Y. There's like,
what does that mean?
So like when there's high pain, high stress, and high agitation, the likelihood of an extreme scenario is more likely.
Okay.
So we have to work on bringing down the stress, bringing down the agitation, or bringing down the pain. Wow. So if he felt like agitation and stress and then pain of like, I'll never be able to leave this and I don't want to be in this relationship.
I'm stuck.
And, you know, I'm stuck. Then I think it, you know, makes people go to extremes. And so focusing on bringing those things down, I think when you were looking for like, what is it? What is that thing? That, I mean, I don't know. That's all I got.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, next up on the agenda, I'll just give you some statistics. I just thought these were interesting.
Ooh,
this was
July
2020 survey of adults working from home found that while 57% of men said that working from home has positively affected their career, just 29% of women said the same, while 34% of men with children at home reported getting promoted during the remote work period, while only 9% of women with children at home said the same.
And
the same imbalance was seen with pay raises. Leadership responsibilities and praise.
No.
Isn't that nice for them?
No.
Sarah just keeps saying no.
No.
I mean, that's what we all knew anyway, but like, I hate when I get confirmation that everything is screwed up.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. How do you even, it's the division of labor.
Absolutely.
It 100% is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's invisible labor. Just remembering, oh, so-and-so's birthday's coming up. We need to have, you know, a card sent to your mother or whatever. All that stuff is taxing on one's inner life.
Yeah.
And so if it's not evenly distributed, then we have an unfair situation.
Yeah. I always am like, I am shocked that, like, I don't know if Ren knows that I clean out the refrigerator.
Right, stuff like that.
Like, it's always clean and like super clean, like lined up kind of clean, you know,
like homemade
with all the stuff
style.
In a rows. Yeah. and I don't know if he like knows that that's something I do. Like, if you were to ask, like, what do you think that there's a lot of stuff for him? Like, I don't think he even knows. It's like, invisible labor.
Right. And it's a balance because they would argue, and my husband always does, that like they don't care if the fridge is organized.
Right. I hate that argument because that I love to just go, okay, let's not do it.
Right. Well, that's my sister. She used to go on strike.
Yeah, I love that.
And she'd be like, well, then I'm going on strike and you can see what you'll miss. And it might take that for some people.
Yeah. What's a nicer way than not doing that? What did you do with Adam? Right.
Well, I just trained him over the 10 years.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's nice. But it takes time, man.
Yeah.
And
but I need to be trained on some things, too, I will say.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm much better about loading the dishwasher now.
Okay, so everyone has their little quirks.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you say, I'm open to being trained on the things that are important to you, maybe your partner will say that they're open to being trained.
Yeah. It might be a bad sign if they were like, good, get a pen.
Right. Settle in. Class is in session.
Right? That's funny.
Hey, well, it's still hot out here in LA, but I know for most of the country it's getting cooler. But there were those really, really hot days out here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And there are these doofuses that are called fucking heat tourists.
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like they go to Death Valley just to get a picture in front of the thermometer that says it's 130 degrees out.
I get that.
You
and I have to say that because on our way back from Zion, I took a picture of that thermometer.
No, if I was there, I would.
Okay. I was like driving. We were driving. We didn't even pull over, so.
No, that's fine. It's the people who are like driving for hours and hours to take a vacation just to get a picture.
Nah.
Come on. And that's dangerous.
I do appreciate celebrating the little things.
Yes.
What's the danger is like going to the hot places?
Yeah, if you go to those hot places, they tell you, like, if you're driving up a hill, you got to turn your air off because your engine could catch fire.
What?
Yeah, okay. Like, it's super
They're
hot.
Just like, I feel like they all, like, watched the movie, like, Twister when they were growing up and were like, ooh, yeah, storm chasing is exciting. Let's, like, do that, but it's, like, for the heat. And, like, you know, because we live in California, you don't have a lot of that. Storm chasing.
Oh, my God. Like, here's an example of how hot it is. They were saying that people that live in that area, like, if they turn on their cold tap, it's hot water because of, like, the ground temperature is so high. So they have to use their hot water heater tank as a place to store cool water. And then it comes out the hot tap.
And they just turn that down. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like,
that's crazy.
Super hot.
They switch the hot and cold water.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because the natural water is hot anyway. So what they need to do is get cold water. You know, I will never forget.
Damn.
Sarah, what was that car you had, the Beast?
Oh, the Beast. The Jeep.
Scion?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another one. Oh, yeah, yeah. Scion.
Yeah. Sarah had this Scion that we took right after the ruins. We drove to Las Vegas, which goes through that really hot. Is that Death Valley? Where the hell is that?
Okay. Yes.
And it was one of those days. It was like July and it was hot as balls. And Sarah was running out of gas.
Running on fumes.
And it would say like gas, 30 miles. And I was like, Sarah.
I know.
I was like, I'll stay calm.
She did not think we were going to make it, guys.
But like everything in Sarah's life,
it worked out.
Somehow it worked out.
I just knew. I had faith that gas gods would get us there.
And they did. But that's when I learned a lot about how I'm a worrier.
Yeah.
Sarah is not.
Yeah.
But maybe I should be more like her because it did just work out.
But it's like I worry and freak out in times where like I shouldn't be. But I don't worry and freak out. I'm like super calm under stress.
Crisis. Okay.
Crisis. Managed. Like some people,
managed.
Some people, like, you know, I remember when I was in grad school and people would be like, oh gosh, I can't work with couples. Like, I just can't deal with the fighting in the room. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh yeah, not a problem.
It's my specialty. I see.
I thrive. Like, it's like I have like the reverse. You put me to a heart monitor, I'm like cool as a cucumber in there.
You love it.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, it's your theory, right, about when you're born into the fire or yes. something. What's that saying? Yeah.
Like you're used to the flames.
Yeah, you're like a heat tourist of emotional heat.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, yeah, but those people are crazy. However, I do really want to try the old frying an egg.
Yeah, what are we waiting for?
Car, like, hood. Not on the, don't do it on the driveway. That doesn't work. You got to do it on the engine.
Is that true? It doesn't work on the sidewalk?
I mean, it does. It just, I looked this up. The max temperature that a sidewalk can get, I want to say is like 100 and, it's usually like 139 degrees. And I think it needs to be like 157 to cook an egg. Mm-hmm. I like really looked this up and like when we had that heat wave. Let me
you
see.
Were into
how
it.
Hot does it need to be to cook an egg on the sidewalk? Somebody's asked this. Oh, yes. Yeah. So I was 1 degree off. An egg needs to reach 158 to cook through, and the sidewalks can get up to 145. So, yeah. So,
why is that the limit?
Well, it probably isn't the limit if it's 130 outside.
Right.
That's probably all, if it's like, yeah, but it does say that you can do it way faster. With a like on the engine bed of your car,
yeah,
like
that
you
makes
like
sense.
The hood of your car too, or something like that.
Yeah, the metal goes a long way there.
Yeah, engine bay. I probably said that the
My
wrong
God.
Word. Or like
engine
Sarah, you're saying
bay.
Like, I think that's what it's called. Or yeah, bed is like something different. What do I know? Nothing.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay. Mine are all depressing. I was going to be like, do you want to know about death by loneliness?
Oh, my God.
What?
Tell me about
that. Okay.
No, because I first tell me what you, I feel like it's person specific.
Well, that's probably true. I'm sure for some people it's more pronounced than others, but I was shocked at the sort of statistics. It said loneliness mortality is equal to smoking.
Whoa.
And twice as deadly as obesity.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I mean,
well, I read I feel like we talked a long time ago about how the greatest predictor of health is mm-hmm. how many friends you have after yep. the age of like 55 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it kind of points to that.
It breaks my heart because this has been such a lonely year for so many people.
Yeah.
But the amount of time you spend on social media is inversely related to how happy you feel.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting to me for two reasons. First of all, you can kind of measure your own mental state by seeing how much time you're spending online. But also, just think about who else you're exposed to on there. Other people who are also lonely and maybe sad.
Oh, God.
Right? So it could be
yes.
reinforcing in that way.
It for sure is.
Yeah. And then, because I am a big believer in the energy people bring to a room.
Yeah.
And I think that can apply to social media as well. Like, you can pick up on someone's energy, even digitally.
Yes, I even feel like the colors that they use and, like, the messages
yeah.
that you see. Mm-hmm.
And then
remember when we read... Okay, go ahead.
No.
Remember when we read that thing? You said that there was a study done and the people who post, like, inspirational or aspirational memes
yeah.
are
yeah.
the ones who have highest rates of depression.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of that.
Well, I think a lot of people post this stuff that helps them.
Yeah.
They're not thinking like, specifically, I think everyone needs to see this maybe. Maybe that's a side effect too, but I think they're
thinking.
Yeah,
like when I was asking, okay, so Handmaid's Tale or Hunger Games? Which one do you guys pick?
Well,
I'm asking
you
for 2021.
Right. It reflects your state of mind at that time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and they did this study that showed that lonely people tend to have what they call micro awakenings in the night.
Yes.
And they were saying that it suggests that your brain is on alert for threats, like your fight or flight thing is kicked in.
Oh, my God. Because you're alone and nobody else is there to also protect you.
Right. And loneliness has everything to do with survival, we're seeing. So your body's like, oh, we're being threatened. Like, we need to make sure we're on alert all the time. That's terrible.
Wow. Well, and then... You, because all of this stuff, you have to like put all the pieces together,
mm-hmm.
and like hopefully through it there can be like a little bit of like compassion and understanding.
Yes.
Then the other thing I think about is how that would affect your REM cycles and
yeah.
your ability to sleep, and how
which
we talked
messes
about
up your thoughts.
How, yes, mm-hmm. and how people who are more anxious and are more have lower like self-esteem or feeling self-worth. And have higher rates of like guilt and shame and stuff like that. That's higher when they have those sleep disturbances because you mm-hmm. need that to kind of like prune the unimportant thoughts away.
Yes. It's all Gosh. Related and interconnected. So
yes.
you can't even just try to fix one thing. You sort of have to look holistically at your mental
yeah.
state and your life.
Yeah.
In order to make any improvements. Because you're right. Like evolutionarily speaking, if you got separated from your tribe, which is
yeah.
what loneliness is.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to wake up more in the night to make sure no one's trying to fucking kill you.
Yes. And it's like what becomes most important.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take care of the thing that's important right now. And our brain does not know that there isn't a threat in the middle of the night yet.
Yep. I wish our brains would freaking catch up.
Like evolve already.
Right, Darwin.
Oh, jeezy, crazy.
Evolve already.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But true. That's how I feel. I'm like, all right, we're ready for
yeah,
you to
come
fix
on,
all
come
this
on, come
shit.
Come on. You told me we'd get rid of like, here's what I heard. No more pinky fingers, no more baby teeth, or no more wisdom teeth, no more appendix.
Yeah. We don't need that. I don't
we
need
got
goosebumps
all
for sure.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. I have a whole thing on that. Oh, God, I have to go way back in the archives.
Well,
I know I have this article that I've been
that
meaning to share.
I believe that they showed why we have them, what they were useful for at one time, but they are no longer helpful. They are definitely not keeping you warm.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's what they're trying to do.
Right. Good effort, everybody.
Yeah.
But you can keep those geese right away from me.
Ah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
And even like they say, well, you know how hair is about scent, like pubic hair.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
But like they're even kind of baffled about eyebrows and eyelashes. They're like, yeah, I can keep a couple things on your eyes, but it's like no big whoop. And yet there they are hanging out.
There they are. Yeah, I think eyebrows were... Or are there to signal expressions, like to be able to read expressions from farther distances?
Oh, okay. Well, I like that.
Yeah. I don't
and
have any
really
studies that show that, but I
well,
feel
that makes
like
sense,
that,
though.
That is my theory. That's like because like people are almost unrecognizable without eyebrows.
Yeah. Remember when we read that if you eliminate the eyes... People can still recognize celebrities, but if you remove the eyebrows, it's really hard for people to know who it is.
Okay, so that makes total sense. I'm going to stick with that theory is totally correct.
Yeah, I like that.
Prove
I'm
me wrong.
With that too. No, that's, I'm into that one.
Right.
Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong, people.
Okay.
That's like my thing now.
Do you want to talk about, we could talk about Japan's love-hate relationship with cats.
Oh, yes. I like that.
Okay, you're into that. So... It is kind of quirky how they're like certain cultures have affinities for certain animals and things. But the
yeah.
Japan cat thing, I read the article and I'm still like, I don't get it.
Like
so
they don't like
theory.
Them.
Well, they like them, but they also are suspicious of them.
Who isn't?
Right. That's just good sense.
Yeah. I mean, have you met a cat?
Right.
So they're suspicious of us.
Yeah, we're not the
feeding
problem
off
here.
Their energy. We are not the problem here. It's the cats.
Cats are gaslighting us.
I should say that I'm a dog person.
I love cats, but they are gaslighters.
They are definitely gaslighters. Oh my God, this is so funny.
The first noted cat was in Japan in 889 in the Common Era. And by the 12th century, they were everywhere. They were just like taking over the goddamn island. And that's right about the point, like when they were everywhere, that when Japanese writers started bestowing them with magical powers.
Mm. Oh, I have seen these stories.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Oh my gosh, I remember this book from when I was a little kid about a cat that was like really powerful. Oh my God.
Oh, that's fun.
It's like coming back to me, and I remember the art was all old Japanese art.
Yeah, and they said it was cool. In conjunction with a great artistic development at that time. So I think there was like an overlap there.
And that was probably like the kids' version of that, you know.
Yeah,
like
that
a mom
trend.
Was an art teacher. Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like art was really in a moment of development at the exact moment that cats were like taken over. And so it just got infused with each other.
Uh-huh.
But they also said this was hilarious. Japanese houses at that time were mostly lit by fish oil lamps. And so the cats were like super into it.
Oh my God, of course they were. And all those koi ponds everywhere? Hello.
Yeah.
It's like lunchtime.
And they would like lap up the oil, and at night in the glowing lamplight, they cast these huge shadows on the wall, which is adorable and spooky.
Yes. Spooky.
Got to get one in every episode of Halloween or in October.
Exactly. And they felt like they were morphing into these massive creatures, standing on their hind legs as they stretched. And according to this lore, the cats who lived preternaturally long, like, evolved into, they called them Bacon Nico, and they believed that they killed their owners and like took their place. This was in Smithsonian Magazine. It was just real cute.
That makes sense for cats.
Yeah, and I think they probably are doing that.
They are, probably are.
That's not mythology. That's fact.
Yeah, that's like fact. They were just like, that was just the news they were reporting.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Oh my gosh, that's really interesting. Cats are a weird one. But I feel like that is almost in line with the kind of Egyptian feeling about cats, where they are, you know, they're kind of seen the same way too. So like, what do we not know about cats?
Right.
That makes me think, you know.
You think they're onto something.
Something. I mean, anytime there are multiple cultures that have similar, like, metaphors for things or where it, like, lines up and you're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, their version of that story. I'm always like, okay.
Yeah, there's something like, there's to all this. Those creation myths and, you know, even, like, the Great Flood, there's several different myths.
Yeah. That shows me that there's some message that is trying to be, and that is the way that they're choosing to like represent that or answer that. And so I'm like, what is it about? I just want to know. I just want to think about why multiple ancient would
look for an answer about something in felines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Makes me curious.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Or there were just a lot of fucking cats on that island, like kind of like snakes, and what do I know?
Okay, one more thing before we go. Sarah had watched the Rubik's Cube documentary. I still haven't seen it, but I'm going to. You loved it, right?
I loved it so much.
And then I read this article about the Rubik's Cube inventor, so I thought I would supplement Sarah's documentary discussion with this. He's real quirky and cute, and I really like the article. It was in the New York Times. And he always talks about how the Rubik's Cube loves attention, but he does not.
And my God, that is cute.
He's super humble and like... He's like, I don't want to talk about... He wrote a memoir, but it's not really a memoir because he's like, my life isn't that interesting. The cube is interesting. And so he made this super weird memoir that I definitely want to buy because it's like you can read it from any point in the book. Like he doesn't want you to just start at the beginning.
It literally is a Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
Dude. Like, this guy's think cool. about how smart you have to be to come up with that concept because that's how Rubik's Cube works. You can start it from any... Mm-hmm. Did he say that? Because that is,
but the journalist did. The journalist was like, clearly this is, you know, the way this guy's mind works. And it's
that's
so endearing.
So fucking cool.
I just loved it. And, he was talking about how he came to create it and, how, you know, it took him a really long time at first to figure out how to solve it. He says he can do it now in a minute, but like the record is 3 seconds. 3 seconds.
Yeah, by that kid.
Yeah, that kid, right. And he says, speed is not important. It's elegance and quality that are important, which, I mean, I got to meet this guy. He is right up my
alley. You have to. Suze.
And they were talking about how interest in the Rubik's Cube, you know, fizzled in the 90s. It was like old hat by then. But then after the internet came about, it all sparked everything again because people were making videos with them and trying to learn the tricks. And then now it's like blown up again. And
huge.
He said that the thing that interests him is not the cube itself, but the relationship that people have to the cube how it.
I just love calling it the cube like that.
Right. Well, his last name like is
it's
Rubik. Like, It's his cube.
Rubik's cube. It's his cube.
Yeah, Erno Rubik.
I like him.
I do too. I was like, we need to meet him and be friends and like
you
have
totally
a giggle.
Would be friends with him.
Yeah, because he sounds like my cup of tea, but
yeah, he really is.
Initially he didn't make a lot of money on it. It was like fly by night, but then I guess once it went bonkers, he was able to make a nice living off of it.
Good.
I love people like that.
Wow. That's
you
really
know,
cool.
Because life is weird and confusing and lonely, as we've described.
Yeah.
And I love when people can be aware of that. Like, he's a brilliant man. Clearly, he knows the human condition. But he's trying to make the best of it and just have fun while he's here.
Yeah.
And I had read this great article about why we should play more.
Oh,
and it
I
fit
love
in
that.
With, when I read his article, I thought, that makes sense. Like, let me read you this quote. Let me find it. The woman in the article said, to play... is to bend limits rather than rally against them, and maybe in doing so find unexpected room to move. It is in essence a freedom, if only illusory, you know, like even if it's not true. And there can be relief in that too. This was in Business Insider, and it really moved me because I love playing, and you don't want to feel like it's frivolous and a waste. And I don't think it is.
It's not.
It's healing.
And if anybody... Oh, my God. I was, like, just having this conversation with somebody the other day. If you need evidence for that, look at Google. They have Lego breaks. They have those meetings on bicycles. They have... Mm-hmm. And people now would be like, oh, okay, well, that's, like, overboard. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. But the reason they're doing it is because these are people who, like, those, like... you know, Silicon Valley nerds are like, give me the most cutting edge science stuff that makes people perform their best.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that? Okay, let's do that. Even if it's Legos and play. And it is that. That's the truth.
Well, and it's like, okay, they're doing it so that they increase productivity.
Right.
Which is fine. That's what a business ought to be doing. But if you can employ that same methodology in your own personal life... and really just find the joy in play, I think you'll be better for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing it so that it puts the employees in the better mood and makes them more creative, which then in turn makes them better
workers. Sure.
Workers.
Right.
So, like, if don't let them just
be like,
yeah,
you
get
know,
all the
reaping
benefits.
The benefits. Yes. Do it. Yeah. Do it for you. Do it in your time with your, with the intention and like the focus of putting that energy towards like things that matter to you.
When I remember when we were criticized by somebody that said that our 420 pot smoking was like a gimmick and just silly. And we were like, that's correct. Mm.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was supposed to just be for fun, and that's okay.
Have you seen any stoner stuff ever? It's all novelty. I believe they're called novelty stores that sell that kind of stuff.
And it's
yeah,
like, that's it's a good thing.
It was for novelty. That's fun.
Like, we're doing the work. We go to school. We get serious. We get degrees. We get jobs. We have families. We do all the serious stuff, too. Yeah. So yeah. It's about balance.
Yes.
Have some fun, too.
Right. And if I can't be silly here, where the heck else can I be silly?
Nobody is sillier than Sarah.
I mean, come on. Silly Sarah.
Like, if you give Sarah room to be silly,
oh, I'm taking it.
You will have a good time.
That's totally true. That's totally true. You give me room to, for silliness.
Well, and that's why I feel like one of the reasons we bonded is that I love instigating silliness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, you know what you should do?
And then all I need is an instigator. It. Yeah, because I don't want to be the... Yeah, but yeah. Like, it. I because I know that your silliness is like lighthearted, fun silliness.
Yeah.
It's like when I was growing up, my mom used to take us to fancy hotels and we would play Truth or Dare. Like, fun Truth or Dare with kids. So like, we went to the Waldorf Astoria and played Truth or Dare. And my mom dared my little brother to go up to these women dressed in like their furs and sitting like there and sing opera to them at the table.
Oh my God.
And he's like 7 when he's doing this or 8.
I bet
so it's
they
like
loved
extra
it.
Hilarious. Then, oh my God, what was one of the funniest ones we did? We dared my mom to, and let's be real, they're only dares. We dared my mom to pretend like she got stuck in the revolving door. And oh just God. Keep going around and around and pretend like she didn't know how to get out of it. And like we're doing this in like fancy hotels. And it's all just like fun and play. And like nobody's getting hurt.
It's
and people are laughing. And it's fun. And you know what? We were doing it all without anybody recording it. Because it changes the intention when you're doing it. Not for – that's not play anymore. Now that's work. Because now you're just – turned it into, you know, oh, now I gotta like post this, now I gotta be a thing, now you're taking the away, you're undoing what you just did.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah. So I hope you guys will have a playful week.
Yeah.
And don't be lonely. You have us.
You have us. You know,
when people
don't
say
trust
like,
cats.
I love listening to you guys because I feel like we're friends. I'm like, we are friends. You're
we
our
are.
Friend.
Absolutely.
That's
if you
real.
Listen, we're friends.
Yeah, we need to wind down. You're right, Sarah. What is that?
Yeah. I was like reviewing, talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Some cats.
Okay, British Bake Off, you have to watch it.
The best. Have to. Steph was robbed. Spoiler alert. Steph was robbed.
Yeah, the first episode, or I guess a few episodes of the new season will have been out by this time, so you can watch those.
We definitely needed that in our lives, everybody.
If you're going to fry an egg anywhere besides the kitchen, try your car engine.
Yeah. And but like don't be dumb and start chasing the heat because like
that's stupid.
Stay inside.
What was the temperature on the thermostat or whatever went thermometer?
I think it was 122, which is why I took a photo of it. Because I was like, holy shit.
122. Oh my God.
Or 112. No, that's too high. 122 is insane. Maybe it is though. I think it might be that high. I'm gonna look right now.
I mean at a certain point it's kinda like all the same. Like you're just on fire.
Yeah, you're just on fire. Where is it? Okay, go back.
I can't wait to see this picture.
Yeah, I'll definitely be posting that one for you guys again.
You're so excited to post it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how dumb are these people? And you're like, I did that.
I was like, 122. I was right.
That's sick, Sarah.
I know, Susie. I'm going to send it to you right now so you can see. Because I like even zoomed. And this was an excellent picture. And the funny, it's in Baker, California, which is also.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Baker,
California has the world's tallest thermometer.
Wow, that is sick, man.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, I don't like it.
And I was like, no, that can't be right. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, it really is 122 outside. What the hell? We can just spontaneously combust.
That's true, I feel like.
I'm winding us up, Sarah.
Yeah, don't watch Sarah.
What
Keep
am
it
I doing?
Calm.
Keep it calm.
All right, we got to go anyway.
We're chilling. We got to go. All right. See you next week.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, come check out the I Don't Get It podcast.
There's no topics we don't or won't discuss.
Seriously, I mean, we overshare our personal stories, so you don't have to.
From relationships, love, heartbreak, or sadness, to hot news and celebrity interviews.
And of course, the best Bachelor exclusives.
All on the I Don't Get It podcast.
You can find the link in the show notes.